Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by the Allen Churchill Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. K0G1W0. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking. Today, my message is entitled Guardrails, and it's all about setting up healthy boundaries in our lives that protect us and direct us. Specifically, I'll be speaking about the book of Proverbs. But first, join with me in listening to that wonderful classic hymn, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory. I'd like to talk about guardrails, and this is a concept that I'm borrowing from Andy Stanley. Guardrails are essentially a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. And there's three main areas for guardrails: on bridges, where there's little margin for error; medians, when cars might be too close to others moving in the opposite direction; and along curves, where unexpected conditions in roadside conditions could prove dangerous. Now, nobody pays attention to guardrails, really, when they're driving. They're sort of taken for granted. That isn't unless we need them to protect us or to direct us. Similarly, in life, we need guardrails. And I think that the book of Proverbs is very useful to this end. Now, notice that guardrails are not located on the most dangerous part of the road. They're in place a few feet from the most dangerous part. And indeed, the theory of the guardrail is that it keeps us from moving into the area of danger. I want to suggest today that Proverbs can do the same thing in our lives. Namely, they can protect us and direct us along the right paths. I'm going to talk about specifically the big idea of the book of Proverbs, the basic test, and the best path. Again, that's the big idea, the basic test, and the big, or the best path, rather. Let's start with the big idea. The book of Proverbs belongs to what scholars call wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and this also includes Job and Ecclesiastes. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, or chapter 10, verse 1, we're told that King Solomon is the author of the book of Proverbs, but other servants, guided by God's Spirit, were also involved in producing this book. For example, in Proverbs 25, verse 1, we're told the men of Hezekiah were a group of scholars who recorded Proverbs as well. And as you know, the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. The words, either wise or wisdom, are used at least 125 times, because the aim of the book is to help us to acquire and apply God's wisdom to the decisions of our lives. Several different synonyms for wisdom appear throughout the book of Proverbs. For instance, instruction or training. Also, the word understanding or insight. We also see the words wise dealing or shrewdness or knowledge. Now, interestingly, wisdom is no respecter of persons. That means that it's available to everyone, regardless of race or wealth, profession, or even intelligence. Education does not necessarily yield wisdom. You know, I've actually met some rather educated folks with many degrees, and yet they make foolish decisions. Intelligence doesn't necessarily yield wisdom either. I've met intelligent people also who make foolish decisions. And of course, age does not necessarily yield wisdom. I've met some foolish elderly folks, but I've also met some very wise young people. And here's the best news of all. Our past does not necessarily hinder our present wisdom. Let's take an example from the life of Chuck Colson, who made some very poor or foolish choices. But God is a God of second, third, fourth chances. And as we all know, Chuck Colson, who passed away recently, ended up living a life for God and a life of great wisdom after he left prison. So what is the big idea of the book of Proverbs? The big idea, located in chapter 1, verse 7, is the following. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Did you get that? Let me say it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's at least 18 references to the fear of the Lord in the book of Proverbs. Charles Bridges explains to us that the fear of the Lord is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself or herself humbly and carefully to his or her father's law. Now, there's several benefits to the fear of the Lord, and let me just highlight two. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." Do you need that refreshment today? Do you need healing throughout your body? If so, adhere to the big idea and fear the Lord. Now let's move on to the second part of this message, and that is the basic test. We've heard about the big idea. Let's now talk about the basic test. You know, wisdom was an important commodity in the ancient Near East. Every ruler had his council of wise men, whom he consulted when making important decisions. God wants his children today, likewise, to acquire wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "Walk circumspectly," or carefully, "not as fools, but as wise." Now, to the ancient Jew, wisdom was so much more than simply good advice. You know, the word translated knowledge actually comes from a Hebrew word that describes skill in hunting. And so what we have here is the idea that we should live our lives with great skill. The Hebrew word for learning means to lay hold of or grasp or to acquire or buy. And that sort of points to the high worth and high value of wisdom. And then the word translated counsel is actually related to the verb to steer a ship. And so wisdom really means that we're steering our lives with skill, and we're laying hold of it as something that is very expensive or worthy, and it guides the course of our lives. Ultimately, wisdom is knowledge plus obedience. You know, God gave Solomon great wisdom as recorded in 1 Kings, so that people came from the ends of the earth to listen to him, and they always returned home amazed. But at a certain point, Solomon forgot to obey God. So he had a great deal of knowledge, but he lacked obedience. Why do I say this? Well, originally God blessed the first 20 years of his reign. Solomon had peace on every side of his kingdom, and he was blessed with wealth at an annual income equivalent to $328 million. He also completed the temple that David, his father, instructed him to build, and he designed and built for himself a magnificent palace. But Solomon eventually stopped paying attention to the road signs and to the speed limits. He didn't have proper guardrails in his life, and he thus committed a few sins, the first of which is that he did not trust the protection of the Lord. You know, God forbade the kings of Israel from accumulating horses and chariots because those could lead a king away from trusting solely in the Lord as his protector. But Solomon went on to acquire 4,000 stalls for chariot horses and 12,000 horses. He also did not trust the provision of the Lord. The Lord had forbidden kings of Israel from marrying foreign women and from amassing large amounts of wealth, but Solomon sought and acquired 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. Ultimately, he made some foolish decisions because he didn't obey the Lord when he had the test before him. And so, in some sense, he failed the basic test, and that is to obey the Lord with the wisdom he has given us. And that failure and shame is recorded throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. When Solomon looked back on his life and regretted that he failed the basic test, namely, to fear the Lord at all times, but also to obey his law. So we've looked at guardrails in light of the book of Proverbs, and specifically we've looked at the basic test and the big idea of the book of Proverbs. In a few moments, we'll talk about the best path in the book of Proverbs, but let's take a break and let's listen together to that classic hymn, Love Divine.
Thank you.
been looking at the book of Proverbs today, and specifically the concept of guardrails. That is, boundaries in our lives that can help us to live wisely. We first looked at the big idea of the book of Proverbs, and that was to fear the Lord. Then we looked at the basic test presented throughout the book of Proverbs, and that test is to couple our knowledge or wisdom with obedience. Now, let's look at the best path to follow to live lives with skill and wisdom. The first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs form a unit in which the emphasis is on wisdom and folly personified as 2 women. Listen to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out, "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and how long will fools continue to hate knowledge? Turn to my reproof, behold, and I will pour out my spirit upon you." If you want that type of spirit to be poured upon you today, ladies and gentlemen, then continue to listen with me to the best path presented in the book of Proverbs. In chapters 1, 8, and 9, wisdom calls to men and women to follow her and to enjoy salvation, wealth, integrity, truth, and life. In contrast, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Proverbs demonstrate folly calling out to the same people and offering them immediate satisfaction and not warning them of the tragic consequences of rejecting wisdom. These chapters actually lead to condemnation, poverty, wickedness, deceit, and death. And so there's a very clear choice here. There's the wrong path and there's the right path. Now, if you remember nothing else this morning, I want you to remember what Andy Stanley calls the principle of the path. Here it is. Direction, not intention, determines our destination. Let me say that again. The principle of the path is that direction, not intention, determines our destination. And what that means is that the direction you and I are currently traveling, be it relationally, financially, spiritually, etc., that will determine where we end up. And this is true regardless of our goals, or our hopes, or our education, or our dreams. You see, the principle of the path trumps all of that. Now, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12 says that a prudent man sees evil and hides himself, whereas the naive person proceed and pay the penalty. There's a clear choice. We either see evil and hide ourselves from it, or we proceed straight into it. Now, there's always something about the alternate route that is powerfully appealing. The alternate route might promise us a shortcut or a more direct and pleasurable route to wherever it is we're trying to go. Have you heard sayings like this? 0% financing and no money down. Or, she makes me feel like I used to feel. Or, he's mean to me, but he is rich. Or, that's how business is done around here. Or, no payments for 12 months. These are the enticements of following the wrong path. In contrast, Proverbs chapter 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." And so, friends, we need to choose the right path today. We need to choose the path of wisdom, not folly, because it is direction, that is where we're headed, and not our intention that will determine our ultimate destination. As you can see, the book of Proverbs is very helpful for directing our lives. Would you join with me in the coming days and weeks to live a life that chooses Proverbs and chooses wisdom over folly. Remember, the big idea was to fear the Lord. And the basic test was to obey the Lord once he's given us wisdom. And then the best path is the path of wisdom over folly. Would you join with me in prayer? Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it guides us and protects us just like guardrails protect vehicles along the road. Our heavenly Father, we need wisdom badly. We live in a fallen world and we need your wisdom and we ask for it this hour. God, I pray for that listener who has not yet surrendered his or her life to you. I pray that they would stop running from you and just give up and admit that you are God and we are not. God, we pray this hour that we will love wisdom and that we will fear the Lord at all times, for that is the beginning of wisdom. Forgive us, Lord, for the pride in our lives, for thinking that we can muster up intelligence. We know that isn't true. James tells us that the wisdom that is pure and true actually comes from above, not below. And so, Lord, we cry out for your wisdom. We choose this hour to fear you above all else. Help us, God, to obey once we cry out for your wisdom. Help us to obey your tenets. Help us to obey your word, for that is the basic test. And lastly, help us to get on the right path. I'm praying right now for that listener who knows that he or she is on the wrong path. Maybe they're just walking headlong into massive debt. Or maybe they're seeking love in all the wrong places. Perhaps even outside of marriage. I pray that that person would immediately right now be convicted by the Holy Spirit and know that he or she is on the path of folly. God, we thank you that you're merciful and you're the God of a thousand fresh chances. And so I pray that you just gently get us back on the right path, namely the path of wisdom. For we want our lives to bring glory to you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, thanks for listening with me. Here now are the Cathedrals singing, Heaven's Joy Awaits.
Words in the Morning is produced in the studio.